Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1607, air date November 7th, 2025.
Good evening, everyone. This is Dr. Shiva Adure. This is our town hall that we do every Thursday. We do one at 11 a.m. And then we do one in the evening. This is the evening portion, which starts at 8 and I come in around 9 p.m. But today's talk is going to be on why our campaign for Senate is the only true opposition. And we're going to discuss this in the context of what I call the two fake ears, Trump and Mamdani. But more importantly, one of our leaders said it's really important to have a memorialized version of the video as a part of our series that really reviews, you can go to video, our history of fighting and winning. Those in power do not want to give examples. They want to hide and destroy any examples of ordinary people coming from below, independent of left or right, actually fighting and winning. And the goal of that is to lead people into quiet desperation that one cannot do anything. So Andrew Rice said, as a part of the series, it would be good to memorialize not only my journey, but the journey of our movement in actually fighting and winning. And it is because of our independent movement, because we're working people, we're not full-time nonprofit activists, that we get shadow banned more recently. We're going to talk about that. But when we launched this series, we did it as a part of this theme about fairness. So what I want to do is I have a couple of parts I want to do here for tonight, and it's going to be educational. And the goal of this is for all of you to actually have tangible evidence that people can actually build a bottoms-up movement and win, incrementally, but also globally. So that's what we want to talk about. But last Thursday, we launched this fairness lecture with this theme, which our producer is going to put up here, which is a video lecture that we did on the fact that we're running for U.S. Senate, but we're in the heart of what we call the swarm. In fact, the intellectual brain trust of the swarm, which is Harvard and MIT. And specifically, we talked about these tenured professors. I call them Brahmins of the swarm. In fact, people used to refer to the Boston Brahmins. And just to review very quickly, you can take that away. What we reviewed last week as a part of that series, you guys can go review that video, was the fact that my running for Senate is a huge opportunity for not only the people of Massachusetts, not only people of the United States, but for the people of the world to have a chance to deliver a resounding defeat to the swarm. And why do I say that? In that video, I'm not going to go through all of it. We reviewed the fact that there's been a historical caste system. Now, this caste system has sort of it's very widely known in India. And I'm not going to go through again all the details of this, but the caste system involved a set of people called the Brahmins, who were the quote unquote educated elite on the top. And they would advise a secondary group, kings or today politicians, who would then rule over another group called the warriors. And then you had the business people, and then you had the rest of what we call the quote unquote untouchables of the low caste. Anyway, people think that caste system is gone, but it is extremely alive and well globally now. And the Brahmins, even though they're distributed, a very, very concentrated center of that is in the 1,000-yard radius between MIT and Harvard. And specifically, it is tenured professors. And as a part of our theme in running for Senate, we've reduced it to one word, fairness. What is fair? And the reality is that you have the so-called left, led by the Democratic Party, which protects the lumpen proletariat, as I called it, a set of people who actually don't work for a living. They don't work. they scam off the system. They're protected. They're given welfare. They don't actually work like hardworking people. And therefore, the right attacks those people, saying they're leeches, which is they are. And we're talking about the lumpen proletariat, not the people who actually work. Then on the other extreme, the left attacks the right, referring to people like Jared Kushner or Hunter Biden, you know, all these people who actually got the birth lottery. They get access to networks of financial networks, wealth networks, and they may be absolute dumb shits, but it doesn't matter. They get access to an elite circle by their birth lottery. And so the right rightfully attacks them. So you have these two extremes. However, in the middle, you have hardworking people. And this left and right keeps going on. And the middle gets split. The working class in the middle gets split up. So on one day, you have a Donald Trump who claims he stands for the white working class, but sells him out. And now you have this fool, Mamdani, who's actually a fake socialist. And you can look at his family's background. They're as Brahmin as you get. Brahmin mean intellectual Brahmins. His mother is a Hollywood, you know, director. And they have multiple homes. They live quite luxuriously. And so both of these people really are representing the two extremes. And no one is representing the middle. They may use the words working class or quote unquote movement, but they don't represent them. And that's what we discussed yesterday. But the tenured professors at Harvard are the elite of the elite of the elite. They're royalty. And as we discussed last week, if you actually work out the numbers, a Harvard tenured professor makes about $2 to $3 million a year. And when you, and that's the full compensation, their salary, all the benefits that they get the best freaking healthcare. They get the best life insurance. They get free gyms. They get free Pilates classes, everything you can imagine. And yet these people will talk about the working class or the elites, both sides, you see. And they live like royalty. And what's specifically important is these people are the scribes, the Brahmins, and they come up with policies, ideas for how society should be. They come up at places like MIT with GMO technology or mRNA or transhumanism. In fact, the front page of MIT Technology Review has a baby on the front, and it says how you can now do designer babies, and there's many companies. So they're coming up with technologies that none of us ever, you know, in a true democratic way, even voted for or gave consensus to. And then you have behind every economic collapse, you can trace it to some fool at Harvard. It's a fact. So these people come up with ideas, scientific papers, and their ideas influence not just millions of dollars, but trillions of dollars movement in capital. And we ended that discussion as we started by saying why these people are extremely dangerous, because the United States ultimately is like Rome. It is a superpower of the world. What happens in the U.S. affects everything. What the Federal Reserve does affects every other bank. So let's be honest. The United States controls global military, social, economic policy, culture policy, Hollywood. And the policy derivatives that come out of the United States are created by the intellectual Brahmin elite who exist at Harvard and MIT. I mean, there's other institutions, but those are two very powerful institutions. And these tenured professors are the ones who are anointed, who have a job for life. They never have to work again in their life. And you contrast that to the working person. The average median income is $40,000 to $50,000. They don't get free gym memberships. They don't get to send their kids to any school free tuition. You go on and on and on. These people are leeches. Yet they claim that they understand what's going on in society. So that's what we discussed. So what we want to do today is we really want to talk about why our Senate campaign is the only true opposition. And we want to talk about this not in rhetoric, but in actual facts of action that I, as a leader of this movement, and our movement has accomplished. You see, because we live in a world right now where there are people called grifters. The grifter class, which is all these social media influencers, all of them who monetize, all of them who never will promote our movement, because they exist to drive people to Mamdani's and Trump's so people don't actually build a bottoms-up movement. So the key thing, and I keep repeating this, if you want to take one singular thing away and you want to cut through all the bullshit, all the intellectual, big multi-syllabic words and books and everything, you want to come to one thing is those in power do not want the middle, the working people, to unite and build a bottoms-up movement with their own independent leaders. I'll repeat that again. Those in power do not want the middle, the actual working people, to build a bottoms-up movement with their own independent leaders. Everything they do is done to distract from that core essence of what working people must do. And if you just reflect on what I just repeated twice, you will understand pretty much why we have to build a bottoms-up movement independently. And everything that we do, theoretically, why we teach system science is for that purpose. It's not to mentally masturbate and talk about systems and systems thinking in some intellectual fashion. So this must be understood. And our run for United States Senate is the only true opposition. And we're going to go through that because a true opposition actually has a method of fighting, which is consistent, which is very different than people who grift, which means they watch messages that are taking hold and they jump on them. Okay? So the grifter class of people actually began in academia. There were the few quote-unquote radicals in academia, a Noam Chomsky, a Howard Zinn, a few people at Berkeley. This was in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. These were intellectuals who were harbored in elite institutions, but they were allowed to be quote-unquote radicals. Mamdani's father was a professor at Columbia. He could talk all his radical shit, but he never actually built a bottoms-up movement. So the grifter class origin actually begins with these intellectuals. And as I've talked about in other lectures, these people are allowed to be in these elite institutions, to talk their shit, but they never, ever want to build a bottoms-up movement. In fact, they attract young radicals, revolutionaries who want to learn, and they bring them to these people, and these people actually talk about how the world is bad or against the establishment, but they do not want people to build bottoms-up movements. That intellectual class now has percolated onto social media of what I call grifters. Tucker Carlson, you can go, a whole bunch of people, Candace Owens, and a whole bunch of minor players. These people steal our material. And you can look at it over 2020. They watched how our material from election integrity or exposing Twitter files or GMOs, you can go down the list, what our movement did, original research, original exposés, original fighting, and election integrity. They stole it because they saw that the masses of people were extremely inspired by our exposing and our winning. And now you have thousands of these grifters. They'll steal our material, talk about it as though they're radicals, even throw in Jesus Christ a little bit as though they're Christians, which they're not. Okay? But their goal is to just talk, 3-hour podcasts. Noam Chomsky would do these long lectures. By the end of it, you think, wow, they've exposed a lot, but you can't do anything. And that's why they exist. And that's why they're promoted. And that's why they mentally masturbate every day. And people share their videos all day. But they do not want to get off their ass and actually build a bottoms-up movement for people like me and others who come bottoms-up. So if you made it here and you're watching this, there's a very clear line in the sand. Do you want to get off your ass and build a bottoms-up movement to liberate the working people. And if you do, you come to the right place. Everything else is fake. It's all fake. I don't care how much they expose the truth stealing our material. It's fake. It's to make sure that you don't do anything. And in 2020, we got our material out there everywhere. And they said, holy shit, where did this guy come from? He's got all the pedigree to be one of us in the swarm, but he's not one of us. But there was a window where our material got out to billions of views, literally. A billion people saw our videos. And that's when they had to put the kibosh on it, and they created the grifters who replicated our material. Is this making sense? You have to really understand this. Okay? So what... I was having a conversation with Andrew Rice, who's one of our leaders, and Andrew said he was going to go to some conference, and there is these people out there, they're saying good things, and they were getting into Jesus Christ now. You know, they're talking about family values, and I had a long conversation with Andrew. I said, do you know these people are disgusting? Because they steal our material, and now they're sprinkling in Jesus. And I'll come back to this, but the essence of it is they don't give a fuck about Christ. They don't want to really look at the essence of Christ's life. Christ's life is defined by his actions. Put the resurrection over here. We can talk about that. I did a Easter video on this, but the life of Christ, they don't want to talk about. Christ spent 99% of his time not fighting the Romans, but fighting the not so obvious establishment, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. He cared about everyday people. He was building a movement. There's a great book called Christ the Revolutionary, which is a fantastic analysis. So these grifters will talk about Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus. I need family values. They're not Christians because they will not put their ass on the line. And all of those people who know about our movement intentionally suppress it. Okay? So that's what's going on. So what I wanted to, so Andrew said, you know, as a part of your series, Dr. Shiva, you should really share with people all the stuff. And even if it takes time, I'll try to do it as fast as I can, that my life, our movement's life, has been actually fighting and winning. Okay? And those stories, they do not want to get out there. They want to give, oh, you can fight, but you can't win. Okay? They don't want to give examples of people fighting and winning. So if there are people who are great fighters and won, they want to make it some mystical, etheric thing, like something, a fantasy, that everyday people cannot fight and win. All right? So we're going to cover that. But our campaign for anyone out there, I don't care what part of the world you're in, Shiva for Senate is going to give you an opportunity, a very practical way, whether you're in England, whether you're in New York, whether you're in California, whether you're in New Zealand, wherever you are, you can participate in our campaign. And we're going to give you the opportunity to put the responsibility on other people to get off their ass and get out the vote for us now. Okay, so this is a very different campaign because you know what? For the last 50 years, I've been fighting. My history is there. We've exposed a lot of stuff, but this is not going to be about me doing all the work anymore or any one individual. We are going to demand accountability of you, working people who claim they love my videos, who claim, thank you so much for fighting, Dr. Shiva. Well, now it's time that you must fight, okay? And everyone here is going to have the opportunity to mobilize other people to fight for themselves. I just happen to be the candidate, a good candidate, an excellent candidate. But that's not sufficient. You see, what they want to do is they want to make everything top down, and they want every campaign to be top down. We're not going to do that. Our campaign is going to teach people how to do bottoms up. And we're going to tell people to go to Shiva for Senate. And I'll come back to this in a very simple way. I just want to do a quick ad here. What do I want to do here? I think I want to share this. Okay. So everyone here can go to Shiva for Senate right now, and you can get your friends in Massachusetts. It has to be people in Massachusetts. So if anyone here knows people in Massachusetts, tell them to go here and start right now, and they can click on this button, and you tell people, oh, you do you support Dr. Shiva? Oh, yeah, he's great. He did this and this. Great. Now you go here and you pledge to vote for Dr. Shiva next November and tell them that when they pledge that they have another duty, that they got to go get two other people to pledge on the same site, and they got to make sure those people get two more people. So we're asking one person not only to vote, that they will vote for us, but to get six people. You see, it's no longer about me doing all the work or five people going out carrying signs and, you know, the standard taking out an ad on TV. We want people to go do the work right now. So everyone can go do that on Shiva for Senate. Now, getting to what Andrew wanted me to do, let me tell you that my fighting for others and against the system is not something I did today at the age of 61, not something I did when I was 50, not something what I did when I was 40. It's been something that goes back here. I mean, and it's all documented. That's what's beautiful about this. I was 17 years old when I came to MIT. MIT only had 20%, I think 10% women. And we organized one of the most powerful movements at MIT to make sure more women came to MIT. Okay. And we did succeed. I think MIT now has close to 40% women, but that started with our movement back in 1985. That's a win. Okay. In 1968, MIT only had two black people. Okay. One of them was Shirley Jackson, I think, who's now the president of Rensselaer. But the reality is my background compelled me to fight. Why? Because my mother came as a low caste woman or dark skinned Indian woman who weren't supposed to get educated in the 1940s. She inspired me not to fight for women's right, but to fight for people to have an equal opportunity. So we were very successful at MIT. In 1986, many of you may know, there were all the universities, the white liberal universities who claimed that they were against racism, were investing their endowments in racist apartheid South Africa, 1986. And what we did then was we led some of the massive movements that really inspired many of the university movements, students, to get universities to pull their endowment funds out of South Africa. This is a very famous picture of me burning the South African flag on the steps of MIT. And then we led a protest against the president of MIT, scared the shit out of him. And 3 years later, MIT pulled out. That's a win. But that was a bottoms up movement. Let me tell you what we did here. It wasn't a bunch of white liberal students talking about poor blacks in South Africa. On campus, we mobilized the workers at the MIT campus, custodial workers, food service workers, to realize that there was apartheid at MIT. You see, so we didn't make it about something 10,000 miles away, which is what white liberals do. Big victory. And this was, if you go here, and if you go to the site here, you can find everything here. If you go to about, we've documented everything meticulously because we want to inspire people what happens when people actually mobilize. So let me go back to this. So this history is important because this is not something I did yesterday, okay? So you can go back and you can see all the different things here. So that's 1985. Okay, so big, big victories. And this inspired other students all over the country. So we actually organized the food service workers. You see, because it's very easy to talk about oppression in another country, but you accept oppression right here. In 1986, some of you may know, this was a global event. You may know that there's an island or an island country called Sri Lanka. They were in an ethnic war where one group was massacring, like the Israelis were doing to the Palestinians, the Sinhalese were doing to the Tamils in northern Sri Lanka. Complete genocide. You can go study it. MIT had invited the prime minister of Sri Lanka, was a genocidal maniac, on campus. Again, we organized one of the biggest protests and got him off. But more importantly, a very good friend of mine, an MIT student, had gone back to Sri Lanka and he was tortured and jailed. So when we ran this protest, we not only kicked the prime minister off the MIT campus, but we also got, through significant pressure, him out of prison. Again, a victory. Bottoms up, working people participated, students participated. You see it as mass bottoms up movements that really affect change. And again, these were things that I, you know, by the way, just to give you a side note, when I came to MIT, I went to an all Jewish high school and 4,000 kids, me and my sister were the only two dark skinned Indian kids. No one even told me about MIT. Quite fascinating. And that year, there's only one student who came out of there. And it's like they didn't want me to come to MIT. They wanted one of their own to come. But nonetheless, I had enough credits to graduate MIT in 2 years. But I spent 90% of my time understanding systems, political systems. MIT was a training ground for me to learn how to fight. So understand, this was what I actually learned at MIT. But if you go through this history, it's been a history of fighting. In 1994, when the internet really took off, I don't know if you guys know, I also have a degree in media arts and sciences in addition to three engineering degrees. But I noticed when the internet came, some of you may remember when the internet, well, the internet has existed for, you know, since the 60s. But in 1993 is when the web got an interface, a point and click interface. Some of you may not know this. That's why you see WWW. That's called the World Wide Web. It made the internet accessible to everyday people. And I had a lot of my friends who were craftspeople, artists, musicians, you know. And if you look at that world of entertainment, it's completely a prostitutional world. You have to fuck somebody. You have to suck someone off to make it. That's the truth. Okay. Hollywood is all about, that's why Harvey Weinstein exists. It's about who you bang. Okay. So there are very good artists who don't want to go through that. So when the web came, we said, wow, this could be a powerful vehicle for the individual artist to go direct, eliminate the gatekeepers, the middlemen, gallery owners, you know, agents and all this. So we built one of the first sites on the internet for artists called Arts Online. And we put thousands of artists up for free. We were making, we'd get $9 to build a website, okay? And I wrote a book called Arts and the Internet. Again, this was pioneering, but we inspired people to start recognizing that the internet could be used as a vehicle for disintermediation. And at that point, the internet was able to do that because everyone built their own websites before Facebook, before Google, before these clowns. And now what you have is you have consolidation. And you have three players who control the internet. I just did a tweet saying modern day social media, what it really is it's media that's centralized, giving the illusion of decentralization. But this is very inspiring because we actually gave people an alternative. All right. One of the things I want to talk about is that I didn't, and this was during my undergraduate, during my master's time, but in 2007, when I was getting my PhD, you may remember that the United States was invading Iraq under the quote unquote WMD. It was not fashionable to speak out against the Iraq war. Now, at MIT, when I was getting my PhD, there were, I think, 20,000 people attended the graduation. Muhammad Yunus, who won the Nobel Prize, was speaking. And meanwhile, there's a war raging in Iraq. And Yunus didn't say anything about the war. You know, he got the Peace Prize. You would think he would say something about the war. Okay. So I ran in and I wrote up this poster as I got my PhD, US out of Iraq. Half the crowd booed me and the other half the crowd gave me a standing ovation. But the point was, it was a victory because many people came after working mothers saying, thank you very much. You have to do things at the right time. And that's what our movement does. We don't grift. We always say the right thing at the right time and we lead. Okay. Let me just, after I finished my PhD in 2007, I won a Fulbright to go to India. And I was very fascinated because now I had my PhD, all the credentials. So I went to India to really do research on the integration of Eastern and Western medicine. And I did some really good work, published a major paper. But when I was getting ready to leave India, I was recruited by the Prime Minister of India to run one of the largest innovation centers. I was only 44 at the time. And my father-in-law at the time said, no one gets this position. So in India, the scientific institutions have scientist level A all the way to scientist level H. I was promoted to H and given an additional secretary position in the Indian government, which means you get a huge bungalow in Delhi, you get cars, you get saluted, you get a huge budget, you can travel anywhere. So I was appointed to become the CEO of the largest scientific organization in India. Okay. And I just want to make this one point very clearly. Throughout my life, I have been given numerous opportunities to be co-opted, numerous opportunities to join the swarm. Okay. Numerous opportunities to become one of them, to become lauded, to get all their credentials. And I've never done it on their terms. I've won many awards, but I've done it on my terms. So it's very, very different. So they don't know how to deal with a guy like me or people like you who say fuck you to them, but you, on your own efforts, you come up. Do you see what I'm saying? They want you to come up on under their umbrella. And if you are anointed by them and you suck up to them, then you're promoted. I hope you understand the difference. Okay. So I've been given many, many opportunities. So here, I go to India. Manmohan Singh, who is the prime minister, then appoints me as one of two people to win the first Outstanding Scientist Technologist Award in India. Now, I was like, wow, this is cool. I get to actually maybe give something back to my motherland. And what I discovered was the same Brahmanical elite feudal system that exists at Harvard and MIT in the scientific institution. Amazing bottom level workers, scientists, but the entire institution was run by a bunch of Brahmins, literally Brahmins and quote unquote Brahmins, assholes, who had no interest in the welfare of the people. They were amazing talent, and they would physically, mentally, financially suppress these people because of their own jealousies, because they didn't want people coming bottoms up. You see, because they're a bunch of incompetent fools who get into their positions not through meritocracy. And this is where the fairness issue comes in. They get into their positions through ass kissing, through manipulating, through network. No different than Jared Kushner, right? Why does Jared Kushner get a $2 billion loan? For interest-free loan, because it's through networking. It's not through meritocracy. Working people like you and I and others, a postman, a plumber, don't have time to fucking network. These people get to wear nice clothes, network all day and network all day and network all day. And that's how they make their quote unquote advancements. So in this scientific institution, I had a massive plan within, weeks, I put together this plan, how to unleash Indian innovation. Now, you have to understand, since 1947, India at that time, had this scientific institution, which had stolen billions of dollars from the taxpayers of India, had produced at most $2 million in value over 70 years. Massive corruption. The director of this institution was under investigation for embezzling $35 million. And within the first month when I was there, the building that I was in, half of the building burns down. And the people get killed in that are the bookkeepers who had all the data. All right? Massive corruption. And moreover, you have these amazing scientists who can actually do work suppressed by these overlords, these feudal overlords. Now, I could have joined that. My father-in-law said, shut the fuck up. Just be quiet. You don't have to do any work. Just ride around in your car with police escorts, right? You're treated like royalty. I could have been those people, but I couldn't do that. And what I ended up doing was I wrote a report which spoke to this, exposed the corruption. And within hours, my email was shut off. And within days, I was evicted out of my mansion. Now, who the fuck would do that, guys? How many people do you know in a position like that would not take their salary, not have all the accoutrements of royalty. How many people do you know? Ask yourself. Nobody. But I never forgot where I came from, and I still can't. And that's why our movement exists. And everyone in our movement thinks like that. Our movement is not made up of a bunch of fucking prostitutes. Our movement is made up of actual people who get this in their heart and soul. And everyone in our movement, if you're here, honor yourself. Do not give one fucking inch to these grifters. Do not think they're better. Okay? And if you want the evidence of that, again, history of winning, let's go to the facts. You can go to innovationdemandsfreedom.com. Scientists in India put this website together. And this site goes into gross detail. The New York Times had a cover story. Nature covered it. It was on Primetime India. And this article says, hired from the U.S., fired in 5 months. Okay? But it's a great memorialization of what took place. I wrote an article in Nature, which says Innovation Demands Freedom, which talked about this entire thing. The editor of Nature, Nature, by the way, is the number one science journal in the world, put it up. And then the Prime Minister of India's office threatened the editor of Nature, and they took it down. So all, and there were only a few scientists in India, PM Bhargava, who recently passed away, who wrote to the Prime Minister. And he said, you must listen to Dr. Shiva if you have any interest in advancing Indian science. None of them did jack shit. So the Indian institutions are still to this day run by these same tenured Brahmanical priests who don't give a fuck about advancing Indian science. 1.6 billion people in India, very smart people. I'll give you an example how fucked up this scientific institution is. Gobind Khurana, who was an Indian, very smart guy, couldn't even get a position as a lecturer at CSIR. He had to leave the India, come to the United States, and by the way, ended up winning the Nobel Prize in Medicine. Okay? So when you hear all the hype about India, understand that India never got independence. And by the way, Zoran Mamdani, in his speech, if you saw his speech, he quoted Jawaharlal Nehru, who was the first prime minister of India, one of the biggest scumbags in history, who is positioned as some, he wears his white hat, as some great leader. And he quoted his speech from Freedom at Midnight, which I was forced to read when I was young. And Nehru was the first prime minister of India, right? And India, 1947, is August 15th, is positioned as the Indian Day of Independence. It wasn't the Day of Independence. It's when the British transferred power from white men with crowns to brown men with white hats. And Gandhi, the pimp who sold India, is the one who modulated that transfer of power. And Nehru was banging, literally fucking, Mountbatten, who the emperor of India's or viceroy of India's wife, Edwina Mountbatten. This is how close they were. So Zoran Mamdani is quoting Nehru, who is as Brahmin as you can get, as bougie as you can get, as elite as you can get, the elite of the elite of India. And he's quoting him, and he's saying he's a democratic socialist. Do you understand the bullshit here? Now, how many people can explain that history to you? No one. But our movement does. This is why our movement must grow. Each one of you must understand this history, and we're going to percolate many, many leaders, so it's not dependent on one person. This is why Shiva for Senate is important, because everyone has no excuse but to participate. And so all of you listening, force the people in Massachusetts to take some fucking accountability and help us get elected. I'm not going to do the fucking campaign. I'm sorry. I've done a shitload of work already. They should do the work. All right? So that's a fact. And by the way, I still get emails from scientists in India. And by the way, let me tell you the victory there. The director general of this organization gets a huge payout, huge pension. All of these tenured professors, by the way, get huge payouts and pensions. First time in Indian history, because of my work, he was denied his pension. Samir Brahmachari. That's a fucking victory. You see, I mobilize all those scientists. You win when you Do the right thing and you mobilize people. You lose when you're a fucking pussy and you grift all day. All these grifters on social media, please don't share their fucking videos. Don't promote bullshit. Because what those people are doing is they're finding people who are getting angry. Watch this video. But notice, they'll be discussing something that we expose, but they will intentionally never direct it back to the source. Have you noticed that? How much plagiarism they do of our material? That's because they do not want to give the example of not only exposing stuff, but actually winning. All right. So that was 2010 when that took place. I exposed all this stuff, came back to MIT. And the head of the department of the Department of Biological Engineering at MIT gave me a lecturer position to teach. By the way, I didn't take any money. I was working full time. Not like Elizabeth Warren and all these professors who take hundreds of thousands of dollars. I took zero. And I taught a course on systems science, two courses, which became the most popular electives at MIT. In the middle of that, 2012, and I'm, by the way, to anyone logging in, you should go review this video. You're hearing the history of our movement, history of fighting and winning across all different disciplines that goes back nearly 40 years. So anyway, in 2012, when I come back to MIT, I'm teaching a course. My mother passes away and all the materials of my inventing email, which I'd never spoken about in 1978, goes into the Smithsonian, which should have been an occasion for great celebration. Instead, the white liberal tenured professors at a bunch of institutions freak out. How could this 14-year-old kid say he invented email? That could only be done by a white dude who worked in the military-industrial complex, because only MIT and Harvard and Stanford create great things, and the military. Big academia, big military, and big corporations. How could email be done by a kid? The facts were black and white. So when that went in, it was quite fascinating because it was one of the brutal times of my life. All over the newspapers, I'm being called a fraud, an asshole, literally a dick by Gawker Media. One report said this curry stained Indian should be beaten and hanged. How dare he say he invented email? And by the way, not one Indian stood up, because Indians are fucking pussies. They're trained to be pussies by Gandhi. Not one Indian stood up. If it was a Jewish person, I guarantee you all the Jews would have stood up if a Jew was attacked, right? Oh my God, they're attacking one of our Jewish people. Well, a 14-year-old kid did invent email. Chomsky, interesting enough, stood up. By the way, Noam Chomsky is a professor at MIT. I have some criticisms of him, serious ones. But Chomsky, I was in his office and I said, Noam, here are the facts. And he stood up and he said, it's black and white, a 14-year-old kid invented email. But what was interesting was, this is fascinating because I've just shared with you my history of fighting for others, right? Putting my ass on the line. Challenge. By the way, when I challenged the Indian government, I didn't tell you to finish the story. Under death threats, I had to leave India. I had to take a third class train all the way to the border of the Himalayas, go into Nepal and fly out. These people are fucking thugs who run India. So I put my life on the line, guys. So I don't want to hear about, oh, I'm afraid I could lose my job. No. If you want to fucking fight, fight. Don't talk about not fighting. There's many, many opportunities for working people bottoms up. So anyway, when I got back to the United States, I faced this other crisis. Here I'm teaching a great class. Thousands of calls come to MIT demanding that I be fired. How dare he say he invented email? The truth was I did fucking invent email. But the other truth was I was brought up not to fight for, you know, like do PR for yourself. This is a problem. When you're an actual innovator, you spend most of your time innovating, not promoting. Bill Gates didn't do shit, but he promoted as though he built DOS. He stole it from someone else. Mark Zuckerberg stole Facebook from someone else. Okay. And you know that story. So the elites are taught how to plagiarize and how to promote themselves. So when this story occurred, I had to, for the first time in my life, dig deep into myself, saying, wow, you fought for others. Are you going to fight for yourself? That's a very hard journey. Many of you know this on personal relationships, right? It's easy to fight for others. But if you're involved in something abusive where someone's attacking you, when you have to fight for yourself, it's a different journey. So anyway, what resulted out of that was I spent day and night, a very close friend of mine came up here, my childhood friend, and we built this entire website. And you can go see it. It's called Inventor. This was a labor of love. Let me take you to it. Inventor@email.com. Okay. We had to go register the website. Fortunately, it was available. And by the way, they critiqued me for registering this website. He's self-promotional. And that's what they do, right? Because when you have to fight for your own things and you don't have others promoting you, they call you self-promotional. It's unfortunate, right? But let me bring this up here. Let's see. But you can go to all right. So on this website, I had to build this entire website documenting every piece of evidence. And you know who are the biggest people who didn't believe I invented email? Indians. It's fascinating. Again, brainwashed to be white supremacists. But you can go to this website and you can find every piece of code I wrote, all my notes as a 14-year-old kid, and we put this out there. And then people said, oh, this other guy invented email. Wikipedia locked my page for 2 years. And this site describes who invented email, what is email, and we ended up getting all these formal endorsements from the board members at MIT, people in India, professors at MIT, because the facts are obvious. Debbie Nightingale and others wrote this article, The Origin of Email. The facts are black and white who invented email. There's not even a gray area here. But this comes back to this fundamental issue. Why was this so explosive? Was that I created email not in the Brahmin institutions of MIT and Harvard. It was done in a small medical college where working people go to, predominantly poor whites and poor African Americans in Newark, New Jersey. You see what I'm saying? This is very critical to understand. I was lauded. I won many, many awards, you can see here, while I was within the MIT rubric. But when I said that I invented email before I came to MIT, what does that do? It blows their mind. This means independent working people, which is what I was working since I was 14 years old, can never do anything great. It must be anointed by them. You guys understand what I'm saying? The middle, the working people have no one fighting for us. I fight for us. Our movement fights for us. The lumpen proletariat have Bernie Sanders, right? The bourgeois elites have Donald Trump. Who is fighting for the middle working people who are actually doing the fucking work? Nobody. Nobody is fighting for the middle. Nobody except our movement. Nobody is fighting for the middle. People who actually work. In fact, these two wings separate us. The invention of email is a powerful story because it's about the undeniable, unequivocal fact that great innovations don't have to come from their Brahmanical world. It can come from outside of it. Now, again, getting back to victory, we're not losers. This, as I said, you can go, by the way, I encourage everyone to go to these sites, whoinventedemail.com. But the most important thing here is I won. Okay? Gawker Media, who had written all those articles, was forced to pay me $750,000. And all of those three defamatory articles, they were forced to pull down. Now, Wikipedia won't even talk about this. We won. They had to pay me $750,000. And they had to pull down those articles. And all the white liberal elite said, oh my God, Dr. Shiva is against free speech. I'm not against free speech. They wrote shit. And they had to take down misinformation. Victory. Victory after victory after victory. Fighting. Okay. So that was 2015, 16, when we won that. Around that time, as many of you know, my degree's in systems biology. There was a big issue about genetically engineered foods. You're familiar with this, right? Well, who created the concept of genetically engineered foods? Places like MIT and Harvard, right here in Massachusetts. And using Cytosolve, I wrote a series of 6 papers. Again, no one funded us, guys. No one funded us. No, you know, research grant for this. And we published a series of 6 papers. Again, all of this is memorialized. You can go to integrativesystems.com, which is our research institute. And we published these articles, which conclusively showed that genetically engineered foods downregulate glutathione and upregulate formaldehyde in a series of 6 papers. And these, and in fact, Neil Young, who's a musician, called me, and he had me and him presented at this very important press conference. You know, he was doing it to promote his album. God knows if he was actually sincere about it. But regardless, we did our thing. And again, you can find these. There were, again, this was a labor of love, series of 6 scientific papers written in a short period, and you can find these, okay? These were these papers that we wrote, which conclusively showed that genetic engineered foods destroy the plant, actually. Subsequent to this, I made a challenge. You know, at that time I had a building, still do, it's worth a lot more now. But I said, I will give anyone $10 million if they can prove our research was wrong. No one came to us. Another big victory. In fact, the European scientific institution attempted to discredit our research. And then we proved that our Cytosol research matched with actual greenhouse. Again, this is combining science with politics. Okay. Let me finish up with a couple other examples. Everyone getting bored of our fighting and winning? Okay. As you know, I decided to run for U.S. Senate because particularly with what I saw coming from India, with the email thing, I realized that us building a movement, and at that time in 2017, a woman called Elizabeth Warren was the United States Senator from Massachusetts. Now, Elizabeth Warren epitomizes the grammatical tenured professor system of bullshitting. Here's a woman who claimed that she was Native American and got into Harvard. Okay. And we're the ones who challenged her. I sent her a DNA test kit and it went viral all over the internet. You can find it. And in fact, we were on Fox News. All the right wingers thought I was on their side. They found it funny and they put me on. And you can find Laura Ingraham, all these guys, right? All the Fox News people. But our slogan was only the real Indian can defeat the fake Indian. Great marketing slogan. Okay. We sent her a DNA test kit. Then Donald Trump picked up on it. Okay. And because we put so much pressure on her, you couldn't leave Massachusetts without seeing these signs, a picture of me next to Elizabeth Warren. Okay. Which had real Indian, fake Indian. I think you guys may have seen this. If you haven't, it was one of the greatest marketing campaigns. It was very clever what we did. Okay. I don't know if you guys can bring it up, but if you just type in Aya Duray, real Indian, fake Indian, you'll see these things that we did out there. There's lots and lots of images out there about what we did. Okay. So, in fact, here's one. And I want to give you this because this is this is another big victory. Let me see if there's a picture of it. Yeah. So we have this bus. Let me show it to you here. And by the way, this was seen as sacrilegious. How dare you attack a Harvard professor? She's such a good woman. All right. And you know, she's a good person, and you know, but we had this, here we go. I don't know if you guys can see this here, but this was our bus, okay? Right here, you can see it right here in the middle. It said only the real Indian can defeat the fake Indian. All right, when we put up this bus sign, the city of Cambridge said that I had to remove the sign, even though it's on a bus in my building. And this was CBS. Everyone covered this, by the way. Let me see if this can come up. Hold on, I gotta put this on. Okay. So so you can see this real Indian running defense sign calling for fake Indian. So the city of Cambridge actually wanted us to take down that sign because it was so powerful. I sued them in federal court and we won. Okay? It was an issue of free speech. So by the way, that set a precedent that you can in fact put any signs on a bus or a vehicle and people can't tell you to take it down. All right. So we decided to run for Senate. And we made a pretty big splash. And Elizabeth Warren was forced to take a DNA test. And it was found out that they had to sprinkle in Peruvian genes into her DNA test to even get her up to 1 out of 1,024%. Okay? We did that. Not Donald Trump. Donald Trump will try to take credit. He's a crook. We did all that work. And everyone in Massachusetts knows that. Big victory, right? Here we basically destroyed Elizabeth Warren. She's lost all credibility because of our work, and she deserves to lose all credibility. The next year, we decided to run for Senate as a Republican. And it is then, in 2020, that they stole our election. And all of you know, we were the ones who proved how they steal elections, how they manipulate the votes. Donald Trump used our material and raised $500 million. We did, and that's all out there. Okay. When we exposed them, they threw us off the internet, threw us off social media. And that led to Aya Duray versus Twitter in a very famous lawsuit. And it was our movement, our campaign, and Tucker Carlson, all these guys knew about this. And they concealed it. It was our campaign, which ran the winbackfreedom.com entire campaign. Okay. And it was our movement that uncovered let me go back to here. Suresh, maybe you can bring it up on yours, winbackfreedom.com, if you can. I think here it is. So we built this entire website, which memorialized the fact that it was our movement, which exposed the fact that there's a backdoor between every social media company. Governments of the world have backdoor portals to every social media company to silence citizens. That was discovered by us, not Elon Musk, not Tucker Carlson, but by us. Okay. The good thing is we documented everything, okay? And you can see the lawsuit, what we uncovered, the entire censorship infrastructure. By the way, Matt Taibbi, Schellenberger, all plagiarized our material. They're all government fucking federal agents. Mike Benz, all these guys. We did this in 2020. We won a preliminary injunction against the state of Massachusetts. We wrote to Tucker Carlson, Glenn Greenwald. They did nothing, okay? And I wrote the lawsuit, and everything's here. You can go through the entire thing. We exposed everything. This was in 2020, 2 years before Twitter files. Elon Musk was asked about my lawsuit, and he goes, oh, I'll get back to you. Okay, everything is here. You guys could go see this. Massive victory. Massive, massive victory. Our movement, Truth, Freedom, Health, is the one who exposed the fact that the government of the United States is in an unholy alliance with social media companies. Not Elon Musk, not. And when they put me back on Twitter, you can see how they shadow ban us. Because I initially said, Elon, I will become your CEO. That went viral. 10 million views. And then when I started exposing Elon Musk for the scumbag he is, our views have gone down. This is why the future is offline. This is why we do these open houses. You guys got to get off your butts. Don't come to this call and to this orientation and go back to your normal life. Because if you are, that's very sinful. You've learned too much here today. You have to get involved. And don't mentally masturbate. Talk about all sorts of shit. Roll up your sleeves. Help us get people pledged. Do the work. It's simple. We've made it easy for people. Okay? But it was our movement that exposed election integrity issues. It was our movement that exposed this fundamental issue with backdoor portal. And then finally, around this time is when COVID starts. And it was then, right a year before then, that I was asked to give one of the most fundamental lectures on the immune system. And you can find it here. Okay. And this became the basis. This is, if you notice, it's 2019. Okay. When 2020 came, we were the ones out there long before booby fucking Kennedy. Kennedy was promoting lockdowns. Our movement saved hundreds of millions of people's lives. We gave the vitamin D, quercetin, iodine protocol. People know us. We're heroes to people. We went direct. We did 50, 60 videos explaining that the goal is to strengthen the immune system. The lockdowns were bad, that the ventilators were killing people. We were the first ones to do that. 5 years later, you're talking about this shit? Asim Malhotra, complete douchebag. All these people talking about it after the fact. Those are douchebags. We did it at the right time, and we saved people's life. That's winning. I'm going to end there on our history of winning. But what you have happening right now is all this history during 2020, all these grifters who were small YouTube guys would put me on their channels because they needed views. Those same people today do not want to talk about us. And you know who you are, you scumbags. They intentionally suppress our movement. They use our material. And you guys should call them out. I can't do all the work. Owen Benjamin, total fucking scumbag. We're the ones, by the way, who led the Postal Service thing. Now he uses it. All these people talk about the Zionist devils. They didn't do shit on October 7th. They waited. They used our material. So these people are using our material, our history of winning. They talk about it. And what these grifters do, this is very, very important to understand. They exist to talk about things, just to talk about it. But if you watch many of their podcasts, they'll say, wow, what can we do? What to do? They like leave people on a cliffhanger because they don't know, because they don't want to do anything. Do you guys see what I'm saying? They don't want to actually roll up their sleeves like Lynn does, hand out flyers, get on the ground like Doris does, and build a bottoms-up movement. That takes fucking work. What to do? We can't do anything. We're all being fucked. Oh, all these Palestinians are being killed. Oh, what to do? No, you got to build a fucking bottoms-up movement. And that means you get people who build the middle. And that's Shiva for Senate in 2026. We've been doing it for a long time. So all of you out there, you know the incredible work we've done. You know the noble deeds we've done. The issues, are you going to be noble? Will you help us get six people pledged to our election? When someone calls you, will you get off your butt? Are you going to watch fucking NFL games and smoke weed and do some more fucking drinking? You have time for that. You have nothing to complain about. Because the left and the right are destroying the middle. Who is fighting for the middle? Our movement. It's about fairness. And the fairness begins with giving credit to the people who actually did the work. I did the work. Our movement did the work. Who fought for people? We did. We fought against genetically engineered foods. We're the ones who exposed the dangers of the mRNA vaccine. And we gave a solution. We're the ones who talk about the fact that innovation can occur anytime, any place, by anybody. Our movement. and we win and we keep winning. Imagine what would happen if you got off your ass and actually helped us. And imagine you told two other people to get off their ass and they told two other people. It's time that we win, because the establishment has created all these grifters, and they're the reason Mamdani won in New York. They're the reason Trump bullshits people. Trump and Mamdani are the same fucking people. Do you guys understand this? I hope you understand this. In fact, Mamdani is a hair inch worse. Trump represents the Zionist assholes. Mamdani's even more dangerous. He claims he's against Zionism, but go look at his mother. His mother's out of the Hollywood filth. Go look at her background. Her father is a Brahmin of sorts. He comes from the academic filth. Talks, talks, talks. And go look at Mamdani's tweet. Suresh, can you, if you can bring it up? I just tweeted this. So Mamdani in 2020 said that the oligarchs are running the world. All these rich people own these luxury apartments. We should put homeless people in their apartments, right? That's what he said. Well, I challenge Mamdani. You know, he's going to get to live in Gracie Mansion. Gracie Mansion can easily house 50 plus people, families, and he's going to live on 7 acres of land. Why does he need a fucking house? His wife comes from a bougie family. He comes from a bougie family. Why don't they fucking stay with their parents and take Gracie Mansion and make it into a homeless center? Will he do that? No, he won't, because he's a fucking, he wanted to be a rapper, by the way, like Vivek Ramaswamy. Candace Owens wanted to be an actress. I don't know if you know, all of these people wanted to be in the limelight as actors, but they sucked at it, so they went to their second profession, politics. As Gore Vidal said, politics is filled with ugly people who couldn't make it in Hollywood. So, these people, Mamdani was anointed from the top. His socialism is fake socialism. True socialism is a bottoms-up workers' movement of the middle rising up and seizing the means of production. He's talking about helping the lump and proletariat. You give free shit to everyone. That has nothing to do with socialism or workers' movement. That's about top-down control of people. It's state capitalism, which is exactly what Donald Trump is doing right now. The United States government took 15% equity stake in NVIDIA, right? This is what the Chinese do. They talk about communism and socialism, but they're actually state capitalists, where the government and institutions of corporations become one. That's nothing to do with socialism. So Mamdani and Trump are promoted by the same people, the same grifter class. Very, very interesting dynamics. There's no one representing working people but our movement. Everyone in our movement works for a living. Everyone in their movements works as quote-unquote activists, and they're funded. They don't have fucking jobs. All these grifters, 99% of these social media influencers cannot, they have no skills. They can't do math. They can't do physics. They can't fix anything. They don't know any trades. They're living off being a grifter. After I get off this phone call, tomorrow I have to go back to Cytosol. I have to do science. I have to do engineering. They don't have to do anything, guys. We're the actual working people. So as I close this evening, I got to ask all of you, review this video. Ask yourself, what the fuck am I going to do? And the fact is, we've created a global organization. We have infrastructure, our own technology infrastructure, all run by volunteers. What are you going to do? Do you want to be on the winning team, which is fighting and winning and help us grow? Or do you want to live in quiet desperation? There's no other game in town but our movement, Truth, Freedom, Health. This is not theoretical. It is a real fucking movement. And every one of you out there, get involved. Make one phone call to someone in Massachusetts you know. Just fucking one. tell them to pledge and follow up on that person like a bulldog till they get two other people to pledge and those people get two other people. And we will win this fucking election. We're going to win Shiva for Senate 2026. There'll be one fucking senator, me, who will expose all these other fucking senators for who they are. And the working people of the world and Massachusetts will have a fucking voice. And let me tell you, a senator has the same powers as the president of the United States on many, many levels. We must win this U.S. Senate election. But I'm not going to win it. You are. I've done enough work. And it's time we all work together. So when we win, we can say, I helped get at least six people. I helped get six people. This is our movement. And we have to give people inspiring examples of how to win by ourselves. And it's not going to happen online because of the level of censorship that they do. It has to be offline. And every one of you here, make one fucking phone call, get one person to pledge in Massachusetts, and then follow up like a bulldog to make sure they get two more people. You see what I'm saying? We can build, everyone needs to have this experience of winning. Then they'll get inspired. The working people of the world deserve to have some wins. They do not want working people to have wins. They want them to outsource to listen to a YouTube video. Did you see Joe Rogan? Did you see Fucker Carlson? Nick Fuentes? These people aren't doing anything. They're CIA. They're federal agents. The entire social media is all paid, monetized people promoted by the swarm. I've given you a lot of reality. The issue is, will you take the reality I've shared and actually do the work? And it's like a 1 degree fucking shift in your brain. I hope you do it for your own liberation. Otherwise, you're fucked. We'll take any questions. And you can put the questions in the chat. The producers and the facilitators read them out. The reason we do it is some people have no fucking discipline. They just talk their ass off about random shit. So we had to institute this thing. So take your time and put your question in the chat and it gives me a chance to review it. And we'll take about five or six questions. We've been here for 2.5 hours, but people stay in our calls for a long time because we're getting down to the meat of the matter. It's about action. And we decided to run for Senate because now it gives people a goal. Let's get Dr. Shiva, the first U.S. senator who'll be representing us. And what can I do? Wherever I am, I can make phone calls to people in Massachusetts to get them to pledge now. We don't need TV ads. We're not going to take fucking social media ads. It's all bullshit. We're not going to take money from hardworking people and then give it over to some ad company over here. That's what they do. We don't need it. We need your labor. Labor is equal to capital. Questions? Noel, can you read out any questions?
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Shiva, for that great breakdown. Again, everybody, questions in the chat, please direct them to co-host and host. So that means typing up your questions. We'll have 5 minutes to run that. If you guys have any questions, please submit them now. Less than 5 minutes. I don't see any questions at the moment from anybody.
Ryan put one thing up there. By the way, quick aside, Saturday, I don't know if you know this flat earth shit, round earth debate. People not sure if the earth is flat or round. Okay. I thought it a very interesting opportunity because I realize 99% of these flat earthers can't do math. They don't even know the scientific method. And so I thought it important to objectively educate people on the scientific method. How do you get to truth? And it's very difficult. You have to have a hypothesis. You have to do and a hypothesis has to be put into a mathematical framework. So we've had a couple of pre-meetings. So this Saturday, I'm going to facilitate the Flat Earth, Round Earth Summit. We have three people on the Flat Earth side, three people on the Round Earth, and we're going to resolve this issue. And you'll see what I learned is when I started doing this, some of the popular Flat Earthers got really pissed off that I was going to do this. And they actually threatened to kill people, believe it or not. It's a bunch of cultists. But we found hopefully some sincere people who actually want to do the science. So that's something else we're doing, okay? No one's paying us for it, by the way. We don't get monetization, okay? And, you know, during COVID, all the protocols I promoted, if I had packaged my own vitamin D3 at the time, we probably made a couple hundred million bucks. But we helped billions of dollars in vitamin D3 sale. Our movement always does the right thing. And our movement has incredible people who have a lot of heart. Some of you may know I had a medical misdiagnosis when I fell, and people from all over the country came here and helped me. People from Florida, Emily Cross, Noel. So we've created a very powerful set of people. Our ties go beyond blood family, meaning we understand the value of human life and camaraderie and love and support wherever we are. So I want to let you know that we've created the foundation of some really, really incredible people. I'm very, very proud of the quality of people we come to our movement, people with a spirituality, a heart, an intellectual capacity, and fucking ready to work. You're not going to find this anywhere else. Any other questions? I think Ryan has something here. One more example of winning. Oh, getting on the ballot, almost 50 states. Totally forgot. First time in the history of the United States, a naturalized citizen, me, ran for president of the United States, which they said you cannot do. And we got on the ballot, either as a write-in or actually on the ballot in nearly 50 states. And in the states that we got on the ballot where our name was printed in 14 states, 7 kept us on, 7 took us off, and we filed lawsuits. There's still a couple in going to the Supreme Court. It's never occurred. And notice none of the news covers it. It should have been front page New York Times. But if I was a Zionist cocksucker, it would have been covered. Doesn't matter. The win remains. We got on the ballot in 7 states, a naturalized citizen. We challenged Clause 5 of the U.S. Constitution. Join our movement if you want to win, if you want to be part of something that actually moves forward. No other questions. Okay. So we can close now? I can leave?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Okay. I don't see any questions on my end. Oh, Suresh, thank you very much, Dr. Shiva, for your time.
Suresh has posted.
Okay.
Yeah, Suresh said someone on YouTube posted, are you in favor of UBI, Universal Basic Income? Let's talk about this. Okay. It's a deeper question on what is, frankly, socialism. If you really study the socialism, a socialist economy is supposed to be much more advanced than a capitalist economy, meaning that more people have more wealth, the standard of living is higher. So the only way something like that is going to come out is if the middle, the working people, actually organize. But what's happened is the so-called fake left, the fake socialists, are out there telling people, you don't need to build a movement. We'll take care of it, right? We'll get into office and we're going to deliver you from the top down. We're going to deliver you some homes, free rent. We're going to give you free universal basic income, okay? This is basically people becoming slaves to the state. It's very different than when you have a bottoms-up movement and working people seize the means of production and they determine what's right. Giving free shit to people like Bernie Sanders, giving free shit to people who don't work, is a recipe for basically eliminating the working class. That's what UBI is all about. You see, right now what's happening, the elites are sitting there and they're saying, fuck. They have an income statement, revenue, expenses, profit. Their revenue comes from printing money, the stock market, overcharging people, okay? And then they see their expenses. Their expenses, I got to pay people labor. I got to pay people for doing the work. So if I can get rid of those people with AI, with robotics, why do I need all these people? So what they want to do is they want to teach people not to work. Oh, you don't have to work. You don't need those skills. We'll give you free money. That's what UBI is about. And then they'll eliminate you. So I'm big time against UBI because that is a policy of top-down state capitalism. Thoughts on 3i Atlas. Latvia, you're running for Senate, voted for you last time. How will you beat election fraud in 2026? That's a different one. Legal question, what is the most important amendment in the Bill of Rights? Okay, so let's start with the first one. Thoughts on 3i Atlas. So you guys may have, I've been following this pretty closely. There's a guy called Avi Loeb, who's a professor at Harvard. And he's hooked up with that stripper congresswoman, Anna Polina, who, by the way, stole my material, that entire diagram, presented at the Senate. And when I was years ago, when I went down with Donald Trump, and then she came running to me and hugged me and wanted to take pictures with me because we were very popular then, you see? But she stole our material, Anna Polina, on the whole thing with the backdoor portal, presented to Congress, never cited us. But anyway, that, I could use some interesting names to call her, is hooked up with Avi Loeb. One of the things they want to do is, look, aliens, reptiles, the Nephilim, you'll hear this. Ooh, the Zionists are reptiles. So they do all this mystical shit over here, out-of-worldly shit, to distract people, this is grifting, from building a bottoms-up movement. So Avi Loeb, by the way, if you look at his background, he's a professor at Harvard, tenured professor. He was in the IDF, Israeli Defense Forces, and he believes in the butchering of Palestinians. So there's some comment coming here, and he says it doesn't represent certain properties that are normal of comets, so it must be potentially an alien spaceship, 40% chance. And Anna Polina and him are on this. Okay, but you know what bothers me about this? This guy, Avi Loeb, was in the Israeli Defense Force and is all about butchering Palestinians. Like, that's, like, in his podcast, he talked about that. So, all right, there's going to be aliens coming. How does that affect the lives of working people? Not much, but they want to keep promoting this kind of stuff to distract from the realities of here and now. So that's what I think about 3i Atlas. Someone says, glad to run for Senate, voted for you last. How will you beat election fraud? So one of the things we're doing, which someone tweeted out, is we'll be launching it as a part of this, our own election voting tracking system. So we'll be tracking, as long as the citizens participate, every vote that's going to be cast for us. We'll be ensuring that they don't delete ballot images this time like they did last time, which is utter fraud. The whole Secretary of State should be in jail in Massachusetts. Next one is legal question. What is the most important amendment in the Bill of Rights? I think it's the First Amendment, but there's something that's related to the First Amendment, which is a creation of the United States Postal Service, which was the infrastructure which allows the individual to communicate with another individual without things being intercepted. Now, social media companies have completely destroyed the First Amendment. So I think that's the most important amendment. But Donald Trump is the one in 2018 who signed CISA into law to destroy it. We don't have the First Amendment, guys, anymore. Social media is centralized media with the illusion of decentralization. And it was our lawsuit which exposed that. This is why I'm saying the future is offline. Everyone here has an opportunity to participate in Shiva for Senate 2026 and deliver a fucking massive defeat to the swarm. And we have to do it. How does Dr. Shiva see interactive artificial intelligence teaching methods affecting the rate of learning for students in the near future? So, you know, I have the three earliest patents for AI, and you can find them for 20 years. I did research. Let me just distinguish AI between computational physics. You know, there's software programs which can figure out how to build a house, measure the stresses. Cytosolve is computational physics. AI is actually a big calculator. I did a video, Suresh, you can find it on What is AI? There's a podcast I did nearly 10 years ago. You may want to go see that, Altaïd, first of all, to understand what AI is. But it's like when the calculator came, certain tools came, they took away people's ability to use their brains. There's a piece of research that just came out, I saw, which shows that the more and more people use ChatGPT and AI, they're actually hurting their own brains on certain levels. So it's an interesting world we're entering. You know, if you're a writer and you enjoy writing, AI could write everything for you. So on the one hand, you can outsource it, but what are you doing to your own mental faculties? How are you going to replace that outsourcing to develop your own brain? So there are very powerful ways to use AI, you know, to eliminate, let's say, certain functional things. So certain teaching methods, I'm sure, could be valuable. But the issue is what is it doing to our brains? What do you think about the all-time data centers that are being built? I watched a thing where they're tracking every vehicle license plate, then storing data. It's not just for online companies. Yeah. Well, the data centers, it's a great question. So think about it this way. You have human beings over here, 8 billion people. They're using energy, right? Think about it all as energy, thermodynamics. 8 billion people are using, need energy, which is in the form of food, electricity, healthcare, shelter. And let's say, I'm going to make up a number. Let's say that costs $800 trillion. $800 trillion divided by 8 billion people is what? Can someone do that math? Is it about $100 per person? No, $1,000, okay? No, I'm sorry. It's $100,000, okay? Whatever that number is, okay? Per person. If they can replace, if they can create AI objects and the energy cost of that is lower for a human being, they're going to switch over to AI. So what they're doing now is building data centers, which will use incredible amount of energy. Fossil fuels, maybe nuclear, maybe solar. So they're going to have all this energy fueling data centers, which are ultimately running, quote unquote, virtual humans, right? If that cost per unit of human is far less than the cost per human, the expense per human, what do you think they're going to do? We don't need humans, right? X, 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 X. Because the elites are running an imperial system where it's about maximizing profit. The way you maximize profit is you reduce expenses. So the data centers that they're doing, whoever wrote that, Jamie, is they are in this transition to say, a human being is taking up this much energy for me to keep alive. But if I could keep an AI bot alive for this much and it can do everything a human does, I don't need this fucking human. This is why it relates to UBI. This is why they have people like Mamdani in there promoting top-down socialism. They don't want bottoms-up real socialism coming up. So they want to create fake socialism. And by the way, a lot of elites voted for Mamdani. Trump is elated by Mamdani because it creates a dialectic, right? On the right, you have Trump. On the quote-unquote left, you have Mamdani. And they both look like they're populists. When all they're going to do is split up the working class. All right, that's going to be our last question. But look, for all the history we shared, so in conclusion, you understand, go watch the first video. If you want to understand the Brahmins of the world, rewatch today's video to understand that we're actually a movement that wins. We have impact on the world. Understand that they know that we have impact. And this is why so much effort is being put in to shadow ban us. The only way out of this is independent movement offline. And in closing, the United States Senate campaign in 2026 gives every one of you the opportunity to experience winning and fighting. What are you going to do? Will you take up this challenge? Do you want to be a human being? Do you want to take the sword and slay some dragons, or do you want to live in quiet desperation? Get on the phones, call people in Massachusetts, and get them off their ass. That's what needs to be done. All right. I want to thank Noel for running this, Suresh and whoever else helped. And I want to welcome all the new people. I heard Vivek, John, a couple of other people. Welcome and get involved and be part of this. Be active. And we know you all have lives, but figure out a way to integrate a little piece of this into your life. Okay? Thank you. Be well. Be the light. Thank you. I'm sorry. Jill is here. Jill, did you have a question? Jill said soft digital ID rollout in U.S. has started with age verification with YouTube requiring. Yeah, I saw that. YouTube requiring identification or facial recognition technology to verify age. Yep. Look, they're going to do this step by step by step. The only way out is a bottoms up movement. And talking about how they're fucking us over is only one quarter of the issue. The other three quarters is us building up our movement. Thank you, everyone. Be well, be the light.
Thank you, Dr. Shiva.
Yep.
We have allowed our country to be taken over from within, and the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves, because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you, deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to, and we need to all unite working people. There's only one movement that can do that, and that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left wing, right wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train an army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up, working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, you don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You've got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is the not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is the not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you on the left and the right. The Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you, the Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement. And that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done. And it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up. His own, quote unquote, people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhelp.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics. And I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people 2 years of MIT control systems. I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it. Anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I got to build a bottoms up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. Now, the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhelp.com, so people can sign in. They can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth, Freedom, Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there, but we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhelp.com. Welcome to VA Shiva. VA Shiva is a product of my journey across East and West, science and tradition, ancient and modern, that brings you the science of systems so you can become a force for truth, freedom, health. VA Shiva is a platform of revolutionary education, community building, and weaponry for unleashing local activism. My journey to VA Shiva begins in the chaos of Bombay, where I experienced diverse religions, languages, castes, and in a small village that had no running water, no electricity, where my grandmother, a poor village farmer, practiced Siddha, an ancient system of Indian medicine over 10,000 years old. She observed one's face, the art of Samudrika Lakshanam, to understand a body's unique constitution, allowing her to deliver the right medicine for the right person at the right time. Watching my grandmother heal others, I was inspired to study medicine, but I was also aware of the corrupt caste system of India, which denigrated a human being, where my family were considered low caste untouchables, where one's birth determined one's destiny. The grit and determination of my mother and father led them to get educated and to come to America, a one in a trillion event. Their actions inspired me to work hard and excel. While in ninth grade, I attended New York University in a computer science program, and subsequently, at the age of 14, was given a full-time job as a research fellow at what is now known as Rutgers Medical School in the heart of Newark, New Jersey. There, I investigated the system of sleep using mathematics, computer science, and biology for sudden infant death syndrome. It was there in Newark where I invented email when I was the first to convert every feature of the physical, paper-based inner office mail system, including inbox, outbox, memo, carbon copy, blind carbon copy, attachments, into its electronic equivalent, a system which I named email, a term that I was the first to coin. On August 30th, 1982, I was awarded the first U.S. copyright for the invention of this system, recognizing me as the inventor of email. At that time, copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I went on to MIT, where I earned 4 degrees across multiple systems of engineering, electrical, mechanical, design, biological. That training led me to invent many other systems for advancing humankind. Echomail, the world's first intelligent email management system. Cytosolve, a computational biology system for eliminating animal testing to discover new medicines faster, cheaper, and safer. And to the creation of a whole systems methodology for certifying clean food. These innovations led me back on a Fulbright to India, where I discovered the missing link between Eastern medicine and Western systems theory, honoring my grandmother, to develop Your Body, Your System, a powerful tool that will help you understand how your body is a system and how the inputs of food, supplements, and exercise bring your body back to its natural system state. And Systems Health, an integrative educational discipline that is now integrated into the VA Shiva platform that will enable you to learn the science of systems, the science of everything, be it your body as a system or our society and politics as a system, to reveal the foundational interrelationships between truth, freedom, health. Now is the time for you to be the light, learn the science of systems, build community, and weaponize yourself to unleash the activism necessary to deliver truth, freedom, health in your local community. Welcome to VA Shiva.